Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi. I'm Mud Toad Sasquatch, and this is Mud Toad at Midnight. Thank you for joining me this evening here on the With Insights Radio channel of blogtalkradio.com. On Mondays at 6 p.m., you can listen to Iggy and Rosa do intuitive readings. Tuesday is at 7 p.m. is Jenny Seek's Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. Wednesdays at 2 in the afternoon is, these are all Eastern time, by the way, is Heather Tapia, Entrepreneurial Excellence Hour. And then on Fridays at midnight, it's Little Old Me, My Toast Sasquatch. Back with you here again. Thanks once again for joining me. And I will thank you several times during the show. It's just something I seem to do compulsively. Just keep thanking you for joining me. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for joining me. On this fine Friday evening, a little bit cooler here in the Midwest than it's been. We survived our huge storm. Something just told me that it was going to be a big old wet firecracker, but good to get prepared for those things, I guess. You know, better safe than sorry. It doesn't really hurt anything to be ready to dash for the basement if something does go wrong. And there were some tornadoes associated with it, too. It was certainly not the mass destruction that had been predicted and, I think, hoped for by the media. They stayed on. One of our local TV stations stayed on the whole evening, preempted all their network programming, and stayed on the air and talked about the storm. So, you know, one appreciates their zeal, but at the same time, I got the feeling anyway that they were getting off on it in some other way. But what are you going to do? That's the system we have. That's the life we live. And I guess I'm a small part of it here on Mud Toad at Midnight here on the Internet, which is, I guess, mostly still unregulated. So perhaps I shouldn't lump myself in with the rest of the media quite so soon. Nobody has yet told me that I can't say anything or can't do anything, but then maybe they're just not listening. That could be. That could very well be. I don't know for a fact that there's anybody out there here in Old Mud Toad tonight. I get most of my listenership on the archive. I haven't checked it for a while. I was getting 500-600 hits on the archive every week. And I don't know if people were actually listening to the show or just listening to the first like 30 seconds and saying, oh shit, I'm not listening to this, and clicking off. There's no way I can tell that. And see, I don't get a lot of feedback from you folks either, so it's just hard for me to know whether this show is touching any sort of nerve or feeding any sort of need. I mean, that's my reason for doing it, is to put my words out there with the hopes that they will find someone who, for whatever reason, needs to hear them. So it'd be nice to know, but then, you know, maybe I don't need to know. Maybe that's that's part of the experience for me. Is this sort of a one-way blind communication, me to the world, and I guess that puts the responsibility on me for what material I'm going to speak and what's going to be put out there. So I want to thank you one more time for joining me. I will remind you, because I don't have my little convenient handy-dandy introduction available to me anymore, I've been doing this show on the telephone. I will remind you that we are in ceremony and that the words and actions of the shaman are protected by federal and international law whilst we are in ceremony. This radio show is a part of my ministry. And I thank you again. I'm going to have to put up a thank you meter. How many times do I thank you during the show? Well, I just really appreciate you. I appreciate you a lot. So I just have to thank you, 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 thank you. Okie dokie. So, those words said, what else shall we talk about today? We could talk about my blog entry. Oh, yes. Some of you probably don't know I have a blog. It's mudtoesasquatch.com. And it took me a lot of weeks of deep thinking to figure that out. But it is mudtoesasquatch.com. That's M-U-D-T-O-E-S-A-S-Q-U-A-T-C-H. And there you will find my blog entries, one a week on Fridays, if all things go well. And I think there's a history going back at least a year of blog entries now. At one point, the website's actually older than that, but at one point we crashed and burned. We got hacked. Got onto the website one morning, and it was military music and a bunch of Russian-looking text. I don't know if it was Russian, but it's what it looked like to me. Someone had hacked us. By us, I mean myself and Poop Watcher, Iggy Garcia, who is my web manager. So, we put it back. He put it back, and unhappily, a lot of the content I had on there, I did not have preserved in any other place. So now I make an effort to save my precious writing so that if something like that ever does happen, I do still have the historical blog entries. Now, after that little, not divergence, what do I mean? I got off the track there. What I wanted to talk about was my most recent blog entry, which went up this evening, and was just talking about some experiences I have today. I had an appointment to interview at a temp agency, and I did go to a temp agency once many years ago, and it didn't do a lot for me. I went there and I handed them my resume, and they didn't really look at it. And then they gave me a bunch of tests, to see how fast I could type and whatever. And then they said, okay, we'll call you. And they never called me. So I think they were looking for somebody else, somebody with blonde hair and a nice phone voice probably. But in any event, nothing came of it. And I really hadn't thought much of going that route at this time. But I had put my name in. Actually, I hadn't even done that. It wasn't that formal. I had heard from a coworker at Ohio State, where I do this thing at the medical school where I pretend to be sick and the medical students try and figure out what's wrong with me. It's called the standardized patient. And they give you a list of symptoms and memorize them, and then you play the role for the medical students before they it's to give them practice before they get let loose on real people. And one of my coworkers told me that they had a similar program at one of the private hospitals in the area. I don't know if it's a private hospital. It's not a university hospital. They have their own medical students, and for the past whatever, they've been utilizing Ohio State's standardized patient program because they didn't have one of their own, and now there is a national requirement that everybody has to test to go take a test. With standardized patients, so more and more hospitals are trying to get these things, which is great for people like me who have a little bit of experience doing it and wouldn't mind doing it in other places. So anyway, I got on the hospital's website, and I couldn't find any information about their standardized patient program, so I just dropped in a general email in their contact us space and said, could you send me a little information on your standardized patient program, and I didn't hear anything for a few weeks, and I kind of forgot about it. And then I got this email from a staffing agency, a temp agency, and it said, "Welcome aboard," and a couple of paragraphs about things they wanted me to do, and sent me seven forms they wanted me to fill out. And I'm like, "Excuse me," I'm like, "What is this?" So, they did say the word standardized patient in there, and I still didn't. So then it occurred to me where this might have come from. So I sent an email to my supervisor at Ohio State and said, "Do you know why?" I just sent her a copy of the email, forwarded to her, and said, "Do you know what this is all about?" And she said that that was the agency that was in charge of staffing the other hospitals' SP programs. So, now I know why I got that email. But it still, it just seemed like kind of a high-pressure thing. They wanted me to come in and drop urine for a drug screen and get a TB test and fill out all these forms. They wouldn't be like there the next day to do it. And, I don't move that fast. I'm my toes kind of a slow mover on these things. But I did finally get my appointment, and I went today and sat down. Very nice young lady who's probably about the same age as my daughter, maybe a little bit older. I have a hard time telling about this thing. But and she was uh, very very upbeat, just sort of on the borderline of upbeat that I can tolerate for any length of time. But we met for an hour, and I did okay, and I kept the cynicism machine at idle, so that there weren't any serious conflicts during my interview phase. And it's this place, they have a very nice workspace. It sort of reminded me of one of those trendy restaurants, you know, with the they don't have the drop ceiling. You can see all the ductwork above you and cement floor and kind of blonde wood all over the place. And it seemed like one of those shops where you sit in front of a fireplace and you don't tip, you know, that kind of thing. That's what it reminded me of. And there were inspirational sayings written all over the wall. And they, you know, I don't know, this is not Mud Toe. You know, Mud Toe is kind of a stick in the mud, cynical, sarcastic. And I don't know if any of the people there ever had a sarcastic moment in their lives. And they're sort of true believers, you know. You just stick to it and go out there and good things will happen for you. And, of course, my belief is that luck has more to do with that sort of thing than anybody else or anything else. And you can kind of always tell, I don't know, if I haven't actually done research on this, but it seems useless to me. Useless is too strong a word. I'm sorry to be waffling so much this evening. It seems, I don't know if I want to get advice on being successful from someone who's already successful. Because, you know, my belief is that the biggest reason they're successful is they were in the right place at the right time. Somebody backed them. They happened to have the right idea, you know, just when somebody else needed it. You know, if it had been a week earlier or a week later, it's just been another, you know, person in line for the job. So I always thought you could get more useful information from people who were sort of flailing away at it than from people who had set their goals and, by gosh, they achieved them. Whether you know that it was the fact that you set the goals that helped you achieve them or that wasn't something else, was it the fickle finger of fate? And, of course, I 100% realized that this could be construed as sour grapes on my part, and there probably is an element of that. But, anyway, this is I was proud of myself in that I didn't get into this sort of thing that I've been doing about being cynical Mud Toe sort of all the time, because I've been telling my vocational counselor that I am capable of reining that in when I need to. So this was really my first opportunity to demonstrate that since I said that to her. So I think I did pretty good. I will give myself a 9.5 out of 10 for restraint of cynicism. But I did get all my paperwork done and talked also about not just about the ESP job, but about full-time things. Not really full-time. See, that's one of the things. It's possible through them that I could get a 40-hour-a-week job, but it's still going to be a contractor job. You know, there aren't going to be any benefits or anything like that. So I don't know if this is going to be a permanent solution for me, but it's I need to get more irons in the fire, so to speak, because, you know, for the summer, the opportunities to SP at Ohio State are going to be much less. I'm having trouble getting the new shows open at the theater, so any opportunity I have to work is something that I definitely need to look into. So anyway, probably the highlight of my interview experience was the drug screen. Because they did it right there. Now, every place else I've ever been, they sent you someplace else to do the drug screen. You had to go to the hospital or you had to go to an urgent care somewhere. But no, they had their stuff set up right there. And then my recruiter took me back to the drug screen area and she handed me the cup. And I was going to take it into the bathroom and put my sample in it. And then I had to hand it to her through this sort of revolving door. Little door thing, you've probably seen these before, is you go about the door, you put the cup in it, then you close your door and it rotates the thing around so it's that the cup comes out on the other side of the wall. We did that, and she showed me she was going to read the sample right there. It says they have these strips. It's like five different tests. There's five different strips in there, and they're inside the cup. And so, I mean, she didn't have to actually handle my pee, which is good. I mean, that would have been awkward. It was awkward enough as it was. But, yeah, she was going to read. I was going to get instant feedback. Now, I have no reason to believe that I have any narcotics in my system or anything illegal in my system. But there's still always that sort of nervousness that comes with being evaluated. But usually when I give a drug screen, well, whenever I've given a drug screen in the past, it was always, you know, you left the sample and then you found out the next day. Well, this one is going to be a few seconds. And I was really kind of a little bit shaky about it, but I did it. And it's always a problem trying to figure out how to get the sample in the case. You got to hold the cup with one hand and you got to aim with the other hand. It's an unfamiliar sort of process. You know, and then, you know, when I overflow the cup, because I sat out there, I drank two bottles of water before I went in to produce my sample. And sometimes when that's you feel like you're waiting and, okay, when am I going to pee? And then when it starts, man, it's hard to close the floodgates. But as it turned out, all was well. There was no overflow. There were no embarrassments. I put the cup through the door, and a couple seconds later, she hollered that everything was okay. And she gave me the cup back so I could dump it out, because, you know, certainly she wasn't going to touch it. But and then there was another person in there, somebody else having their interview, and it was the recruiter was a dude, and the interviewee was a young lady. And I think that's probably got to be even more awkward than, you know, the setup that we had and passing this urine sample around. And I had also thought, I mean, I wonder if that becomes some sort of, I mean, for however long this relationship we're going to have at this company, you know, it's always going to be true that she handled a cup with my urine in it. And there aren't that many people in the world you have that kind of relationship with. And it got me to thinking, I mean, has that become sort of a symbol of where you are in the pecking order of that company? You know, I've handled way more cups of tea than you have. In my time here, I've handled hundreds of cups of tea. Where are you at with the pee? You know, maybe they have a chart with the little cups on it. I don't know. Maybe it amused me. I'm sorry, it probably didn't amuse you, but it amused me. Pee is always amusing. You can talk about urine. Just endless. Endless laughs at all times and in all places over this rather simple biological function. And it's really a window to our bodies, and it's something that we talk about in Nemanja, and the way that the things that happen inside our bodies show up on the outside of our bodies. And you can't hide anything from, just like in geology where you can't hide anything from water. The water comes through the rocks, and it tells you everything about the rocks that it came through. Urine goes through your body, and it tells you pretty much everything about what's going on in your body. So urine, let's hear it for urine. It's a good day for urine, and a good day for us to celebrate pee in our lives. So go ahead and do that. I give you permission. Or don't. That's okay, too. I'm very easygoing fellow, you'll find. I'm also quite proud of myself because I've managed to get through the show thus far without getting too terribly distracted by this slideshow that's going on. I have my desktop computer is cranked up because I'm charging some peripherals with USB, but you don't care about that, and I'm not going to go into details. The computer's on, let's put it that way. Usually I don't have the computer on because it has the fan is bad and it has a tendency to start whining very loudly if I leave the computer on too long. But I have it on right now. As I said, it's charging some stuff. And the screensaver is a slideshow of all the photographs I have on the computer, and there are a lot of them. I have photographs that I've taken. I haven't taken so many lately, but over the years, I've taken a lot of digital photographs that are all on my computer, the ones that I haven't destroyed for various reasons, and a lot of stuff that I've downloaded from the Internet as well as on here. So there's this slideshow going on as I'm talking, and I was a little bit concerned that I might get distracted while I was talking to you and lose my train of thought, but I haven't had so far. Oh, now there's an interesting picture. That's me as a penguin. Let me describe that to you. It's a picture. I think there are some pictures of a show that I was in, and the show I believe was, it must have been Victor Victoria, and I was wearing a tuxedo, and I look, since my body is shaped kind of like a gourd, a tuxedo makes me look rather uncomfortably like a penguin. So I do avoid them when I can, but in that particular case, the director wanted me to be in a tuxedo, so I was. And I was a penguin. I played, if you've seen the movie of Victor Victoria, I played the same part that Alex Karras played. He passed away here very recently, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a big to-do about it that he thought, or his family felt that his, that the health problems that he had been experiencing had to do with the hits that he took while he was playing in the NFL back in the 50s and 60s. Alex was also, as I recall, a central character in the Paul Hornung gambling thingy. scandal, I guess you could call it a scandal. It's a number of football players. This was in the early 1960s. Got caught gambling on football games, and they all had to sit out of here. Paul Hornung was probably the most famous of them, but Alex Karras being among them. And then that was actually the year that George Plimpton was writing his book, where he went and pretended to be a football player and went through training camp with the Detroit Lions, and you know, he would have met Alex Karras, except Alex Karras wasn't playing because he was suspended for gambling. Although in the later movie of Paper Lion, which starred Alan Alda as George Plimpton, Alex Karras magically was there. Because, and as it turns out, he's one of the few Detroit Lions players who could act a little bit. They did it all with Detroit Lions players. Now, go back and count how many times I sub-referenced during that last little dissertation. It's what I do. I move and I weave and I bob and if I keep moving, you don't have time to get on Google and check and see if the things I'm saying are really true or they're total BS. Now I have, well, there goes a picture from Haiti. I was in Haiti in 2007. I'll tell you a little story about that. Actually, it was before we got to Haiti. We were on the plane on our way to Haiti. Actually, we were on our way from New York to Miami, and then we were going to Haiti from there. And I was sitting next to two gentlemen who, they were actually on their way to the Dominican Republic. And it's the same island. It's two different countries. They share the same island, Hispaniola. It was the place where Christopher Columbus landed, actually. It wasn't in North America. It was in the Caribbean. And so let me stop sub-referencing right now and go back to what I was going to say. The Dominican Republic is sort of a nice place. It's not horribly luxurious, but it has a lot of amenities, and Haiti just doesn't have anything. It's by far the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. It's very much like a country in East Africa. But in any case, I was going there, and these gentlemen who were beside me on the plane from their discussion, I mean, they were clearly headed to the Dominican Republic and to do some gambling and chase some scripts and whatnot. And so one of them, and they're two big friendly guys, you know, probably run into on the street at a hot dog stand or something. They probably sell grain at the grain exchange or something. But anyway, one of them turns to me and says, "Well, where are you headed?" Because they've both been talking. They're both heading to different cities in the Dominican Republic. So I think maybe they were hoping I would be able to be their tiebreaker for a couple of things. They were sort of having this discussion about which of their cities which of them was going to be able to find more debauchery in the city where they were going. So one of them asked me, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Port-au-Prince." And he said, "Why the hell are you going to Port-au-Prince?" And I explained to him it was for university, working with some professors. We're working with some teachers down there, and I was photographing it, and I was also conducting one of the seminars down there, which was a lot of fun. First and only time in my life that I've ever worked with a translator. I have that on video somewhere. It's been an embarrassment to me for the rest of my life, mainly because everyone, it was very hot. You know, the Caribbean in general is rather warm. And I was sweating like a pig. And I'm looking at all these other people in the video, and they all look fine. and I'm a mess. And I'm the one who's up there in front of everybody talking. And it's not nerves. I am never nervous. Well, I'm a little bit stoked. You know, I'm not fearful of going up in front of people. I don't mind being in front of people at all. So it isn't that. It's just me being in this hot place and just not able to effectively cool myself off. And so I look at myself doing this exercise. But it was very cool. We were working with 6 or 7 year old kids, and they started off with their teacher reading them a book that was written in Haitian Creole. Now, that's the language that most Haitian kids speak at home, but the language of instruction is French. And I was told by one of the people, one of the missionaries who works there, that was very likely when their teacher read to them, if it was very likely the first time anyone had ever read to them in their own language. And that was part of the initiative these professors were working on to generate educational materials in Haitian Creole. So my sort of job was to get the kids kind of up and sharing their ideas about the story that they read and then acting them out. And they were very reluctant at first because it was not the system. You know, the system was the teacher stands up front and the kids, you know, yell back their answer, which was usually oui, or yes, which is the same in French and Haitian Creole. But after working at it, you were able to get kids coming up to the front and acting out their favorite parts in the story. And it was quite gratifying, even if I was a sweaty mess at the end of it. I thought sometimes of maybe posting some of that stuff to the blog, or just some of that video. I don't know if everybody can because the video doesn't, but I have video. I have all of it, but it really belongs to the university. I'm not really supposed to have it. I kind of had it. It was an understanding that I would have it so that I could work on it, you know, at home. But I don't know if it suddenly showed up on my Facebook page or on my blog. I don't know if it might be. I don't know. In higher education, there probably isn't anybody still at the university who was there in 2007. It tends to turn over very quickly. I'm watching my slides go by again. That is a lady who's been kind of on my mind. She's someone I dated some years ago. It was sort of a mutually self-destructive kind of relationship. It wasn't terribly healthy for either one of us. And it was a good thing when we sort of, I went to the hospital, and that's how we ended up getting some distance. And then we ended up having a sort of a second run at it later on, which thankfully didn't last quite as long. I don't want to put, she's a good person, and we had some good times together, but it was some of those things where we just can't, you know, bad for both of us. They're just bad for both of us, that is the only thing I can say. Well, now she's back in town, and every time I see her or post something, she posts to my, she's not one of my friends, but she posts to my friends on Facebook, and I see her name, and I keep it. No, I'm not gonna send her a friend request. I still have a couple of her pictures that I haven't been able to quite hunt down on my computer. I'm not quite sure where they're hiding. At one time, I'd taken many pictures of her, and when I'm sort of a purge, where I got to get rid of this sort of energy, I just destroyed all the pictures. And it's probably a good thing I did that, but then I missed them too. They were really good, some of the best pictures I've ever taken. We are rapidly running out of time, so I will take just one more opportunity to thank you for listening to the show. Boy, it just blows by 30 minutes. Just doesn't seem to be able to contain it, but we'll make another attempt next week. And again, good night. I'm not going to thank you again. Okay, good night from Mud Toe Sasquatch, and tune in next week. Bye-bye.